Hello, it's Thursday, July 6th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. We're glad everybody's here today. We had an excellent interview yesterday with Christian Pinto. We could have spent hours and hours discussing his video. So we want to thank him. Also, to start the show off today, we only had a second yesterday to thank Frank Whalen. But we want to take a few more minutes today and really thank him for what he's done for us. Because not only does he do the fastest 4 hours in talk radio on the radio, but here's a guy that would be real easy for him to say, you know what, I'm not getting involved with any of these matters that are controversial, that might bring some heat down on me. Instead, I'm just going to wash my hands out, I'm going to steer clear, and do nothing.
Yeah, well, especially since there is a past history of Frank getting punished for having us on his show talking about certain subjects in the past. Frank steps up to the plate on our behalf every single time. He's a decent, good, kind person, and he has a lot of guts.
Yeah, and that's what we have to say, because too often in this alternative media, it seems like people just want to steer clear of certain controversial issues.
They don't want to step on anybody's toes or ruffle anybody's feathers, and they just want to go along to get along.
Yeah, exactly. And one time we were on Frank's show, they actually like shut down some of his micro broadcasters right in the middle.
Well, I think it was the micros that shut him off.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That right in the middle of the interview, they shut him right off. And so even with that, in light of that, Frank still has the guts and the courage to go forward. So he broadcasts every morning from, 6 till 10?
Uh-huh.
6 till 10 a.m. Eastern Time, rbnlive.com. And we just can't say enough about this guy. You know, we talk a lot about what's bad that's going on in the world, in government, in the mainstream media, and in the Patriot Movement. And we want to take this opportunity now to talk about what's good. And
well, I just want to check the rbnlive.com website for the actual time of Frank's show, because I think you got it a little mixed up. I think that was Central Time, that he's 6 to 10.
Yeah.
But also I wanted to say, too, about Frank's show. He had Mark Glenn on today,
mm-hmm.
and they did an exceptional interview. So if you can, check out the archives. I believe it's the last or the third hour, at least the third hour. It might have been the third and fourth.
Yeah, and Mark's latest book is Hear No Evil, which is actually getting the interest of quite a few people. So we were very pleased to be the publishers of it, and just think Mark did a great job. Now, since we're talking about people that are doing good and our appreciation of that, what we also have to do right now is spend a few minutes thanking everybody out there that watches Wing TV and listens to Wing Radio on a daily basis, because everybody now is aware of what has been happening to us, what we've been enduring for the last 13 or 14 months. And as we talk about it, you know, we sat on this for a long time. We thought it would either go away or we'd be able to deal with it on our own. Well, we haven't been able to. Things escalated so far out of control that the only way to really deal with it was to go public.
Well, we did ignore it for over a year. We ignored it for a year, and it just got worse and worse and worse to the point where it was pretty much unbearable.
Exactly. So what we did today as the Wing TV lead article was post a sampling of the emails that we received, the letters of support. And you know what, Lisa? There are some times during this last year or so when things got pretty dark for us, when it felt like our heads were going underwater because of the attacks and the onslaughts against us. And in all honesty, there's times when we said, you know, is it even worth it to keep doing this? But as I reread these letters today before I posted them online, this is what makes it all worthwhile, to know that there are good people out there that give a damn.
Well, we've always known that there are good people out there. And we just want to tell you from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. Every single one of your letters means so much to me and to both of us. And we don't know really how to adequately express the sentiments we feel in return, except to say we thank you and we really appreciate you weighing in with your thoughts and the fact that you give a damn.
Yeah, and we want everybody to read these letters. When I printed it out, it came to like something like 13 or 14 pages worth. And as I said, this is just a sampling of it. We couldn't include all of them. But
But of course, there's still some people who think that we're agents and other things. And if you still think that, you're free to email us and tell us why you think that, or if you don't you don't care for us. We welcome all the feedback. Yeah. Of course, I don't really want any feedback from my attackers and stalkers, so you guys aren't included.
But it shows that there are people out there that know the difference between right and wrong, that have a conscience and are willing to speak out and are willing to say, you know what, there's a point when things have to stop, and these are the people we're trying to send our voices out to that...
And speaking of this this whole cyber-stalking thing, there's really good books you can read on this subject. Laura Knight Jadzik and Henry C. edited a really good book by a guy named Lobachevsky, and it's called Political Ponderology, and you can find it on the Signs of the Times website, which is linked on our homepage. Laura wrote an excellent, excellent article in which she uses a lot of citations from Lobachevsky's book, which was on the homepage yesterday, and I believe Victor's going to link up to that permanently today. Please check it out. Check out these books. She also has another book called Secret History of the World that you should probably check out, too. It's a massive volume and definitely worth taking a look at.
Exactly. So before we move on, we just want to say again, thank you to everybody. Read these letters because it shows the outrage. It shows the outrage that's taking place right in our own movement. It's easy to be mad about what the government's doing because we know they're evil. It's easy to be mad about what the New World Order or the Bilderbergs or the mainstream media are doing. We know that they're evil. We know that they're up to no good. But when we see these same exact tactics in our own alternative media, it's good that people are out there saying, wait a second, we don't want this cesspool. We don't want this sewer. We don't want this poison in our own ranks. And as we said on Frank Whalen's show yesterday, is this really what we want now? Is this the face of what the Patriot Movement has become? People that call themselves the Mafia, people that are rap star or rappers or hip hoppers, people that are inner city gang bangers that advocate selling drugs to kids and on and on. Is that what the Patriot Movement is?
And I'd like to draw your attention to something else, too. You know how in the past we've talked about certain subjects and there's this deafening silence in the alternative media to the topics that are, a lot of these topics, really important. Notice the deafening silence within the alternative media to this issue.
Oh, I know.
Where are all the so-called patriot leaders speaking out against this blatant, blatant evil that's being done, and it's still being done today? I mean, we still have people today doing the very same thing, altering my photos. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
It never, ever stops.
And, you know,
and nobody says anything. The everyday people speak out, and the people who supposedly want to shape your opinion have clamps on their lips.
Exactly. And the most ironic...
It shows you what they stand for.
Yeah, the most ironic email we got was from someone that said he called in the Jack Blood show yesterday and was going to ask Blood about this topic, about his association with the Revere Radio Network, with these sewer rats. And supposedly Jack Blood started freaking out, hung up on him, and called him a stalker. Now, the real stalkers have been stalking Lisa for the last 13 or 14 months, doing every horrible thing imaginable.
Wait, you didn't say the last part. And that was the first time the guy called Blood's show.
Yeah, that was the first time he ever called Blood's show. And Blood called him a stalker. Yet,
well,
Jack,
you know
Blood,
what, Jack? You should know.
Yeah, and Jack Blood allows these degenerates to stalk Lisa
on
his forum, on his site, for the last year or more, yet he calls this guy a stalker. And you know what's funny, Lisa, is that people in the mainstream media, whenever they have somebody call into their show that they don't like the question or the line of reasoning, they call them stalkers, too. So he's using, again, mainstream media tactic. It's unbelievable how closely it's all paralleled. But Jack Blood calling this guy a stalker, when he's allowed authentic, genuine stalkers to harass Lisa for over a year.
By and large, we've lost faith with the so-called alternative media containment press, but we haven't lost faith in you.
Yeah.
And we just appreciate that you're out there, that you're paying attention, that you see what's going on, that you can call it like you see it, And you don't hold any punches with us the same as we don't hold any punches with you.
And, you know, and that's one thing I noticed in these latest emails is that people say that's what they like best about Wing TV, is that we're not afraid to call it like it is, let the chips fall where they may. And everybody, it seems like in the alternative media, wants to walk on these eggshells. They don't want to step on anyone's toes. And we're saying, to hell with that.
Well, they don't mind picking up their sword and waving it in the air when they're making their little virtual attacks against the government.
Yeah.
But when it comes to people doing the wrong thing within their own circles, boy, those swords get hidden under the bed real quick, don't they?
Yeah, when it's right in their own backyard. And here's another thing that we should address. Is that every once in a while they'll say, someone will email us, and these are, you know, one of the negative people that want to create division. They'll say, hey, you know, well, you and Visigoth don't agree about this. Or you and Frank Whalen don't agree about this.
Well, guess what? Me and Victor don't agree about a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, where is it written that all of us have to walk in lockstep with each other? I mean, if I wanted to walk in lockstep with everybody else, I would go do a radio show on the mainstream. I would go sit in front of the TV and watch CNN and Fox News and CBS. I don't want to walk in lockstep with everybody.
Aren't those the blue pill people?
Yeah. I mean, if you want to do that, go take your Valium or go take your pharmaceuticals and sit there bleary eyed. Because, I mean, I was just talking to Visigoth the other night. And he's the one that brought it up. He says, we don't agree about a lot of stuff.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, big deal. You know, we don't have to agree about everything. That's what makes, or at least in theory, what makes the alternative media so appealing is that there is this independence.
I guess we're all supposed to bounce one idea off of each other, back and forth, the same idea. We are all supposed to think exactly alike in uniformity and conformity.
Right. Well, I think more so what it is that a few of these self-proclaimed leaders of the movement, and we all know who they are, it's the people that say, this is my road. They want to be the ones that shape the whole thought form or what everybody thinks in this movement. So they say, well, we'll do A, B, and C, and everybody fall in lockstep with that. Well, you know, we're not doing that.
Well, and the thing about it, even the people who justify find some reason, like the lady that called into Frank's show yesterday, find some reason to justify the wrong action. That's just an example, a very good example of the conditioning that's taken place. Well, Alex is just Alex. How many times have we heard that?
Yeah, well, it's being an apologist. And, you know, if you want to, there's a lot of apologists.
If I did the same thing, would they say, well, Lisa's just Lisa?
Yeah.
Well, never.
I mean, there's a lot of apologists, a lot of brain-dead people that apologize for this current administration. Speaking of which, today is George Bush's 60th birthday. And it's funny because one of the local radio show hosts played one of those tapes of all the Bushisms, you know, from his speeches.
Yeah.
And
his little pearls of wisdom.
Yeah, his pearls of wisdom. And to hear all of these put together, one after another, all they can say is, we're in a sorry, sorry state with this man being our commander-in-chief. It's just very, very pathetic.
Well, that's old news.
But
here's the joke of the day, though. By now, everybody should have heard, if you haven't, the CIA has disbanded its unit that oversees the hunt for Osama, you know, Osama bin Laden. Despite this $25 million bounty they have, and Osama's history of ill health, the shortage of high-speed internet-equipped caves in the world, and all the super technology at the disposal of all the big superpowers of the world, Osama bin Laden has managed to remain elusive. Nobody has a clue where Osama is. And get this, nobody gives a damn.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, try this. Try not paying a parking ticket sometime and see how easy the authorities can find you, yet the most quote-unquote notorious criminal in the world.
Well, and he's not even wanted by the FBI for charges relating to 9/11. Yeah. What does that tell you?
Exactly. So
Osama didn't do it.
Yeah. Now, Lisa, let's talk about Ken Lay a little bit.
Yeah, let's.
And here's, we have to make it clear, first of all, there's people out there saying that Ken Lay is still alive, that somebody faked his death, that they have plastic surgeons and they're they're altering as appearance. We're not advocating that because...
No, nobody knows that for sure. So we're not going to spread that particular fairy tale around. And it remains a fairy tale until it's confirmed true.
Yeah. And we need proof before any of this. We're not going to be like Tom Flacco and those guys that, hey, I wonder if Flacco's going
to have... I was looking to see if he had passed something. But that would be the next myth that goes around. But
so,
for what we know, Kenneth Leigh did die. And there's an interesting thing now because there's this thing called the abatement doctrine. And with that, the death of Kenneth Leigh could wipe out both his conviction and his indictment from his criminal record. It may vacate his conviction and end the Department of Justice's efforts to recover the bonuses and other earnings that Leigh had. It may also hamper plaintiffs that have filed civil suits against his estate and complicate actions being taken by the Securities and Exchange Commission to collect money that they want to collect. And as one law office, professor has put it, if you're on appeal and you die before the appeal is decided, it's like stepping into the Wayback Machine. It's like you were never charged. What do you think about that, Victor?
Well, it's very convenient.
Talk
for
about
starters.
A free skate.
And what it boils down to is that if all this is what you're saying is true, then potentially he just died with a clean slate. Everything's been wiped off. And now, of course,
in other words, he may have died an innocent man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
How do you like them apples?
Now, I was listening to mainstream radio this morning, like I do every clock at five, or every morning at 5 o'clock. There's an hour-long newscast, and the female that was reporting on this story, I don't know who it was, but she says, it looks like Ken Leigh just might become another victim of the Enron collapse.
Oh, he's a victim now.
Yeah, the victim of the Enron collapse. It's like, wait
already.
A second. He's not the victim of it. He's the one that caused the collapse. He's the monster.
He's the perp.
Yeah, him and his underlings that did all this cooking the books and all this fancy footwork in their accounting department, they're the monsters that were behind it. But already, just within the last day or so, they're spinning this story now to where Ken Leigh is a victim.
Yeah, but you
it's
see how
unbelievable.
Quickly, I mean, his body wasn't even cold yet,
yeah.
And already the conspiracy of surrounding his death has formulated, and you've got people passing it around the internet, just like they pass around Flacco's. In fact, it's the same people passing this around, this unsubstantiated, totally fabricated conspiracy theory, which it could be true, but what's the more plausible?
Well, we need proof of
scenario,
anything
right?
Like this. We need proof, and you're right, Lisa, the same exact
people.
These are the mass email spammers that we've talked about numerous times
before. The useful idiots.
Well, useful idiots or the paid Poindexters that sit in their little NSA room.
Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah, and just pass this stuff around. But I've talked to people from Houston that know all about the Enron deal, and they tell me about people that have lost tens of thousands of dollars, that have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I shouldn't say lost. I should say swindled out of, because that's really what it was. They were swindled out of it, and they lost their jobs on top of it. So for them to be painting Ken Leigh now as a victim and potentially having all the future of all their lawsuits and all their civil actions against them to try to recap some of their money, it's unbelievable. And
They were screwed while he was alive, and looks like people might get screwed after he's dead.
Yeah, and this woman on the news this morning, she was talking about how last Sunday Ken Leigh went to church, how he had attended these
Bush
ceremonies.
Goes to church too. What does
and
that
then
mean?
She was saying how that he really felt the pain of all the people who lost their life savings.
Sounds like Clinton.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Bill Clinton and Kenneth Leigh both feel your same pain.
Uh-huh.
But we have to remember, Kenneth Leigh was also a multiple attendee to the Bilderberg meetings.
Right.
He was a member of the CFR. He was one of these insiders of the Bush cabal. He hung out with all the Texas Energy cronies down there.
But he was a real sensitive guy. He feels your pain.
Now, the thing that was funny is that they said that on the 4th of July, which would have been 2 days ago, that his family said that he was fit, healthy, and upbeat, and that they were startled that he died of a heart attack. You can do with that
startled?
What you want. Yeah.
Wouldn't the word be more like shocked, freaked out, just completely, grief-stricken.
Yeah.
Startled, that was the word that he
That was the word, startled. I wrote it down.
Startled is like when somebody walks up behind you and goes, boo!
Yeah, really. And the last thing is that I read some articles by reporters that were at his trial, which came in guilty on him a couple,
weeks ago.
He
was escaped in 20 years.
Yeah. And they said how arrogant this guy was, even at his trial, even when he took the stand. There was an arrogance to him where he just didn't get it.
Oh, are you saying he wasn't holding himself accountable?
No.
He had no remorse? Gee, who does that remind me of?
I mean, after hearing all this testimony from all these people describing how their lives were destroyed, how they can't send their children to college now because the money that they had, that they were counting on...
They were built out of.
Yeah, they were built out of. After hearing all of this, he still had such an arrogance to him that it was like he was so far above them that the little minions, you know, the unwashed masses, didn't matter. It didn't matter at all about them. And maybe this arrogance was one of the things that led to his guilty verdict. I mean, at least I hope so.
Well,
because
you know what? The best thing that could happen would be that if he really was dead... Because then at least we know he'd have to meet his maker.
Well, you
and
know,
face his real judgment.
Yeah. And it's funny because yesterday on the Wing TV homepage on our news updates, I said, Kenneth Lay beats rap, dies. And, you know, everyone was like, oh, well, he's not going to have to face prison. He's going to have to face a fate much worse.
So, see, I think that your title there was wrong because... If you die, you're certainly not going to beat the rap.
Yeah.
And if anything, you're going to see what real justice is like.
Yeah. Well, I guess he beat his earthly rap, but there's a bigger rap that extends.
We just didn't get to see it.
Yeah. So, you know, wherever he is right now, we
and
couldn't...
Our hearts go out to all the people that did get screwed over by Ken Lay and Enron.
Because then, I mean, here again it is, Lisa, that the everyday people, the good, hardworking people, the people that are trying to do what's right, they're the ones... You know, they're the silent majority that, I mean, I really think I'm starting to see a change happening in this patriot movement, in the alternative media, where people are finally saying, you know what, we've put up with this crap from these certain individuals, and we know who these individuals are, because if you go back to the first Wing TV poll, everybody out there listed who they think are the biggest shills and infiltrators and so forth.
Speaking of the chills, that woman that called into Frank's show yesterday, she kept trying to say she uses her phone and it's hooked up to AT&T and she didn't know that, but that, there's a difference between that and what we're talking about in these articles.
Right, right.
Regarding the links between GCN, Alex Jones, and the psychos that are stalking me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a deliberate linkage, a special request linkage, not an inadvertent,
right.
I didn't know about it link.
Yeah, and that's very, very important.
She really had no point.
Yeah. So, what else you got there in the news, Lisa?
I'm just going along with you. I thought we were getting a phone call.
Yeah, we were supposed to get a call from Gene Chapman, who we've had on the show once before. And we got a phone call yesterday from an individual that just attended a big We the People rally.
Right.
Down in Washington, D.C. And we attended one of those rallies in the fall of 2002, I believe, in November.
So did they hand the petition to Tony Snow? Is that what you were telling me?
Yeah, the connection, the phone connection we had was very, very crappy. So I didn't hear exactly what this individual said. But he was supposed to forward something to Gene Chapman, who went on a hunger strike, or maybe numerous hunger strikes, I think, in the last couple of years.
I was going
to
say which one.
Yeah. And... from what I could gather from this telephone call, that they actually had this petition or their redress, their grievances.
Uh-huh.
And from what I could gather, he said they gave it to Tony Snow, former Fox News personality that now is...
White House snow job.
Yeah, the White House snowman. And that's, I guess, one step better than when we were down there in 2002.
Well, back then, they handed the petition in to all the congressmen.
Right.
And, of course, no response. We couldn't get anybody to address this petition. We couldn't get anyone to meet with us. There was a huge crowd of people waiting there in D.C. And our government hid from us.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
so
what
now,
it was. So
now, if they got Tony Snow, I don't know how they managed to get his attention. Did he actually show up to
get this? That's what I would have liked to ask Gene Chapman or anybody else that was down
now,
there.
We were hoping that one of them was going to call. We thought we had that set up when they called us yesterday and were trying to tell us about it, but the connection was pretty...
Well, I think they're
pretty,
on a...
cutting off and
yeah,
in
I think,
and out.
I think they're on a cell phone traveling at the time, so it didn't. But, you know, this is really an issue that doesn't get mentioned enough, and that is the federal income tax.
Well, the last success that there really was Joe Bannister.
Right.
Beating, you know, his court case, and of course, that's not the rule. That's the exception to the rule. Most people don't fare as well as Joe Bannister did, but it gave a lot of people hope, and we should still have hope. And so I'm really appreciating what the We the People Foundation does, because they have not let up.
No, they have not.
All these years, and they keep hammering away, and we don't know that it's really making much progress to do that, but at least they're not giving up.
Right.
And
well,
that's more than most people are doing.
I think what it's doing is holding the beast...
Their feet to the fire.
Yeah, holding the beast
right.
back so it can't grow any larger. And, you know, now that you mention that, here's something that... I just thought of the last couple of days. Whenever you hear the Bush administration come out, or you hear the Republican apologists, and they say, well, you know, the one great thing about the Bush administration is that they haven't raised taxes. In fact, they lowered taxes. So for the last 6 years, we've had lowered taxes. Well, to start with, everyday people see very, very little of these tax cuts.
Yeah, what's the trickle-down effect?
Yeah.
So, for you out there.
So, in that sense, maybe people saved a little bit. I mean, a touch on their taxes.
Sure,
not
you're
much.
You're losing it when you pay for fuel.
Well, that's exactly what I was leading to. So, what they do is, they use this notion that, hey, you know, we lowered your taxes. Except now, every year you have to pay $1,000 or $2,000 more to heat your homes, to fill your tanks up on your automobiles, and on and on. So, what they've done is just... taken one hidden tax and replaced the federal income tax with it. In the end, everybody's still getting screwed worse than they got screwed before, but they play this public relations where they're saying,
yeah.
You know, look how great we are. We lowered your taxes.
Yeah, and it looks like the oil is going to stay high now indefinitely until they start freaking people out about the bird flu or something like that.
Yeah, and then it'll take off again. But, yeah, you're exactly right because... You know, after the latest Bilderberg meeting, Jim Tucker was there, filed his reports, and said, you know, they pretty much agreed that they're not going to jack it up any higher right now. But here's one of their sneaky little tricks is the weekend before, the Friday before the 4th of July weekend, around here, gas prices went up 10 cents.
In one day.
In one day because they knew everybody would be traveling for the 4th. So let's screw that extra dime out
Remember
of them for
what
gallon.
Georgie said, there's no price gouging in America.
Yeah, yeah, except in, you know, except when winter comes, summer travel, holidays.
Except when it's a Tuesday.
Yeah, so, you know, these
Are we supposed
tactics,
to wish him a happy birthday?
I'm not wishing him a happy birthday. No, not at all. Let his wife do that. And now tomorrow, one of the things we're going to talk about, and we're going to still try to get a few more details, but it seems Mike Rupert's office out in Oregon got broken into.
And somebody, when this first happened, somebody emailed me and said, what do you know about this?
Yeah.
And I said, this is the first time hearing about it. Why should I know about it?
Yeah, so we're not going to get into any details today, but... everybody that's emailing us is saying, wait a second, you know, and now we don't have any inside information beyond, you know, a few people that know Rupert. So we're going to...
It's interesting if you read the report.
Yeah.
Apparently the police have some questions too.
Yeah, so we're gonna cover that tomorrow. It's very interesting.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny that Rupert, you know, about 4 or 5 months ago moved up to, was it Ashland, Oregon, I believe?
Yeah.
Ashland,
mm-hmm.
Oregon. And since then...
Well, remember how he had to get there.
Yeah.
He had to hold out the tin cup and collect, what was it, like
$50,000,
you said, off of you out there.
But the people and the authorities in Ashland now must be thinking, what kind of train wreck just rolled? It's like every other month there's some kind of disaster going on up there, so...
And I guess he's needing money again, huh?
Yeah, oh, well,
already?
Supposedly. So we'll go over, we'll get the emails that we got about this and cover it. And if anybody out there knows anything...
Yeah.
You know, give us your thoughts.
And listen, we just want to tell you all again how much it means to us that you have weighed in on this whole harassment issue and what's going on in our very broken, very sick, very dysfunctional, co-opted and controlled alternative media.
Right.
We've been trying to tell you for a long, long time how broken this really is and how seemingly unfixable it is, mainly because not enough people are wanting to fix it.
Yeah. And another thing people should do is call into these radio shows.
Yeah.
Call into Jack Blood. Call into Jones and ask them, why are you associated with these stalkers, these psycho cyber sex lunatics?
And take special note if they answer you defensively.
Yeah.
If they start calling you a stalker, if they hang up on you, if they won't talk about it.
Yeah. And also, if you have any thoughts on this matter, send it to us, because we're going to keep adding to this list.
Right. And if you love us or you hate us, we always want to hear from you.
Right. And you know what? Whether you love us or hate us, when it comes to this matter, there's right and wrong.
Right.
And whether you like us or dislike us, there still has to be a line in the sand where people say, you know what? I don't like Joe or John or Susan.
Right.
Or
your sense of right and wrong should have nothing to do with us.
Right.
You should have a moral compass and a sense of what is right and what is wrong that is solely your own.
Yeah. Right is right all the time and wrong is wrong all the time, regardless of the parties involved. And that's, right now, a good gauge of what's going on out there is to see who's speaking up. That is the everyday people, the people that really make America what it is, the people that we saw on the 4th of July up there by Beaver Stadium when we were watching the fireworks. Those are the people that still make us want to come here every day and do what we do.
Oh, I want to say one more thing, too. I want to thank Michael Langston. Michael Langston has written a wonderful statement substantiating everything that we've said. And Michael Langston has posted it in a lot of forums and sent it around the internet because he wants to expose everybody to what's going on. And Michael Langston's being harassed now by the people who are harassing me. They're altering his photos as well. Just so you know, this isn't just happening to me and Victor. This happens to anybody who happens to agree with anything Victor and I say.
And you know what?
These people are sick. They're obsessed. They have some kind of irrational fixation. They need to get a life.
And if you want to know what a police state is like, if you want to know what Big Brother is like, if you want to know what the pigs are like from Animal Farm, this is it. Right in your own backyard, right in your own patriot movement. We don't need to go look at the government's police state or Big Brother, because the government's own police state and Big Brother is right here, right in our own backyard. These people here are a mirror image. And if you accept that, if you accept that whenever somebody speaks out on a controversial issue, that these types of brown shirts, these Nixon dirty tricksters, these members that are mirror images of Hillary's secret team, they swoop down upon you. If that's what you want, then welcome to 1984.
Yeah, I really appreciate that Michael Langston's man enough to stand up for right and stand up for what he believes in, and he's taking heat on our behalf.
Yeah.
And we didn't ask him to do that.
We just want to say
that's really something.
Thank you to our Razorback, because that's one ornery Razorback right now. So, folks,
he's got a heart of gold, though.
He does. We're going to be back tomorrow. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
Thanks again. We'll see you tomorrow.